Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Naz is not here this week. She's taking a week off, so we're doing a boys club. My name is Daniel.
I'm Johnny, and this is the Gender Knot.
This week, we're doing a fun one, hey?
Yep. It's guys only.
Yeah, we kicked the gals out.
We have, and we're once again covering men's groups. We're going to be looking a bit about what men don't like saying in front of women, a little bit about why men go to men's groups, what men can gain from them. We're just covering a lot of stuff about men's groups. We were joined by Herman Villegas, who is the presenter of the Modern Manhood podcast. He's also part of the Next Gen Men Network in Canada.
And he has a lot of really great insight on, you know, the types of stuff that dudes are uncomfortable talking about. And so, you know, Johnny, you and me, we're the dudes around here. And, you know, a big part of the goal of this show is to help men and women both, you know, really understand how to be comfortable with who they are and comfortable with each other in this modern, chaotic, you know, Me Too heavy, like, who gender fluid, you know, all the stuff that's going on in 2019. And so having a guy like Herman around to kind of help us through the weeds on, you know, what things we're uncomfortable with and why talking about them may make us more comfortable with that sort of thing.
Dan, do you think there's conversations that we'd have between us that we wouldn't have in front of Naz?
You and me?
Yeah.
Probably. She scares me, to be honest.
I also find it quite funny that we're recording this on Valentine's Day.
I know. It's really cute. Do you guys have Valentine's Day?
We do Valentine's Day. Have you got Valentine's Day plans? It's earlier where you are than it is here.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm in Boise, Idaho on a work trip, so I'm going to go to dinner with my boss.
Okay. Not is your boss male?
No.
Well, there's no romanticism in the dinner.
No, though she is going through a divorce, so maybe if I play my cards right.
Well, I had potentially the worst start to Valentine's Day. I managed to get...
Please tell.
Yeah, I managed to get friend-zoned at 1 a.m. on Valentine's Day by somebody I've been dating for 4 months.
You got friend-zoned by somebody you've been dating for 4 months?
Yeah, I know. At like 1 a.m. on Valentine's Day. Like, you can't start off worse than that, can you?
I mean, you could, but not without physical harm.
So yeah, I feel like I win Valentine's Day.
You won Valentine's Day. If anyone has a worse story, send us an email. Speaking of, let's get some what do you call it, housekeeping out of the way.
Let's do it.
We've got a sponsor this week, yeah?
Let's talk a bit about our sponsor. So, Dan, are you big on mindfulness?
Yes, more than most.
Are you? So, practicing mindfulness every day is something that I think we all want to achieve and get better at. But I think sometimes it can be really hard when you're overwhelmed with work and other aspects of life. So there's this app which we'd recommend called Blinkist.
What does it do?
Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of non-fiction books, and condenses them down to just 15 minutes so you can read and listen to them. So it's made for busy people like you, Dan.
Yeah, I never have time to read.
Yeah, so with Blinkist, you could finish 4 books a day while you're on the go.
Shut up. 4 books a day.
Yep, 4. So you wouldn't get just that. You wouldn't read the entire book. You'd just get the main points of the book. So if you don't have time to read like the pages and the pages and the pages, you get the key bits. Blinkist is pretty popular right now. There's 8 million people using it. It's got a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health to history. I've been enjoying it. I've been trying it out. I think it's pretty good fun. And one thing I've been reading on it is a bit of Descartes. You know, I wouldn't normally read Descartes, but it's condensed down nicely for me. So I've been reading Descartes, a bit of Meditations on First Philosophy.
All right. That sounds a bit over my head, but I'm into it. I'm into it if you're into it, man.
And a bit of The Personality Brokers by Merv Emre. It's all about like the Myers-Briggs test and personality testing. I think it's pretty interesting stuff. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/thegendernot to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, spelt B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/thegendernot to start your 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/thegendernot.
And also, just while we're on the topic of housekeeping, please sign up for our newsletter. You can find the info in the comments or email us at thegendernot@gmail.com. And we'll be sending that out bi-weekly with all kinds of really great stuff regarding this show and just things that we talk about, things related to our topics. It's a really great catch-all for people who are trying to stay in the know about these things. And also just use that email address to send us any mail you want. We love hearing from you guys.
Yep. And be sure to leave us a review and let us know what you think.
Hell yeah. Now on to the show. Here's us talking to Herman about what men can and cannot say around other men and women and such.
So Dan, have you ever been to a men's group then?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, so like I quit drinking 5.5 years ago, and I've, you know, gone to like certain types of meetings for that. And some of them have been all male, but that's not, I don't think, really the same thing. It's not like we're getting there to talk about our guy feelings. But I did also go to an all male high school, which I guess is kind of like a 4-year long men's group. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't have the comparison of going to a co-ed high school, but I feel like it was cooler than a co-ed high school.
In what way?
Well, so like freshman year or you know, grade 9, I think you guys call it. There's a lot of like headbutting, you know what I mean? There's a lot of peacocking and like guys showing off and stuff. But as time goes on, you realize, or at least I did, I realized that, you know, as far as like main things that guys argue about, we didn't have a lot of that. You know what I mean? There wasn't anyone to show off for so much. You know, there wasn't anyone to impress. There wasn't anyone to fight over. And so as time went on, everybody just got really chill. and it was the kind of thing where like guys would just hug each other and like be goofy with each other and like do dumb stuff, and like it wasn't what I understand to be like a very typical high school experience of like people getting bullied and dudes fighting over chicks and you know, that sort of thing. We just didn't have it. It was a very relaxed environment.
Did you have like deep conversations with guys?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it was a really we actually had this retreat. I think it was junior year, and it wasn't mandatory, but it was highly encouraged. And it was like a 3-day retreat where you would go to like the woods with like a third of the class, and the school was pretty small, so my class was like 105 kids or something like that. And so they did like 3 of them a year, and it was the juniors, and you'd go to the woods with like 30 guys, and you'd be put in a cabin and with like maybe 10 of those guys, and that weekend you would have extremely deep conversations with other men.
And this was a school thing. Oh my goodness.
It was called Encounter Retreat. And you would talk about like the things that scare you and like how you feel about things. And by the end of that weekend, everybody's crying, everybody's hugging, everybody's saying, "I love you, man." It was intense. It was a really intense experience. So maybe I have been to men's groups.
That sounds like the most men's group thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, that is definitely the most men's group thing ever.
Yeah, and that was a bunch of like 16-year-old kids.
Right. Right.
And like a senior would volunteer every year to like be like the head of each cabin And so it was, there were no, it was not like there would like be things that involved the teachers and faculty and whatever, but it was just like 16, 17, 18 year old kids like learning how to have feelings with other men. And it was like, I haven't thought about that thing in 15 years. And now that we're talking about it, I'm like, that was a really great experience. More people should have that.
It probably did you good. Because I went to a mixed school, and I feel like, you know, most of my friends were guys. I'd say probably about 90% of them were. But I think having the influence of having girls around was definitely positive. I think most of us came out of school more well-adjusted. And I remember when I got to university, a lot of the people that had gone to, you know, all-boys school or all-girls school, they just seemed a bit off around the other gender. They just seemed a bit unsure and a bit different. It sounds like your men's group thing that your school took you to maybe adjusted you all a bit.
Maybe. I don't know. A lot of us have been to rehab since.
Okay.
So who knows?
It's also not a good sign.
I went to a mixed school too, so I didn't get that experience either. And I'm wondering, like that did that little camping experience, that time in the woods, that was, did you talk about things that you weren't like, you didn't talk about in school? Was it like a specific, you're like, oh, I can't wait till I get to the woods so I can talk about, you know, my feelings or whatever it was?
Well, that's the thing. They didn't tell us what we were going to do.
Right. But was there an expectation to that?
No, it was just like, you're going to have this weekend and it's going to be life changing. And that's it. Mm. It was kind of like a timeshare pitch, now that I think about it. You know what I mean? Where like they were like, we want 2 hours in a conference room and we're going to change your life. No, I don't remember. Like, it was kind of like this hush-hush thing. They were like, it's really impactful. It's really spiritual. You're going to get a lot of personal growth and we highly recommend it, but we're not going to tell you what's going to happen.
Mm. Mate, this sounds proper dodgy.
It does. But like when you're, you know, 16 and Catholic, I mean, you're pretty used to the mystery.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of faith in that, I guess.
Right. Everything is kind of like, well, trust us.
Yeah.
Jesus or whatever. And you're like, all right, I guess.
By that time, so I'm sure it's a very easy sell.
Yeah. And it was a reason to not go to school on a Monday or whatever. And you got to go camping and it was fun. And like you knew it was going to be like a camping thing, and that like, and it wasn't like camping, like we were in cabins and there was hot meals and stuff. But, yeah, they didn't set any expectation. I had no idea what we were going to do. And maybe that's just cause I'm a bad student. Like maybe they told us all, but I don't pay attention. But to the best of my knowledge, they were just like, it's a really cool thing. And you're going to have like a really impactful spiritual weekend. And I thought it was going to be a bit more religious than it was, to be honest with you. It wasn't super heavy Catholic stuff. It was just very, let's be, you know, emotional men,
right,
kind of thing. And it was stuff that we couldn't talk about in school, and it was stuff that we couldn't talk about with our parents, and it was stuff that we couldn't talk about with our friends, and it was stuff that we couldn't talk about with our siblings. Like, you know, guys were like talking about like masturbation at like 16 years old, and like how they felt about their parents and like the things that like they were afraid of when they go to college, and like why they do things the way they do things, and like what, how their dad treats them when they don't do good at sports, and like like all the stuff that we have insecurities around as like 16 year old boys, really. And and we talked about girls and like being afraid of them and what the hell is sex like, and, you know, all that stuff. And I'm sure a couple of guys probably came out, you know, what happens in your cabin stays in your cabin. But, like it was the kind of thing where just like you could, this space was created over 3 days where you could say anything to these guys, and somehow it was like, yeah, me too, man. Or like, I don't know that exactly, but here's how I feel when my mom says something similar. Yeah, I don't know. So basically, men's groups are amazing, and I should do more of this, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's interesting that you It's interesting you did it when you were like 16. Like, I wonder if everyone had that kind of experience when they're 16, what it would, how it would shape young people.
I think it also depends on the environment too. I think that was a very structured environment to say, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Because I'm just thinking of like, I don't know, we just, in Canada, we just had a scandal of like, it's a school in close to Toronto named St. Michael's that had a pretty public hazing incident, and it's an all-boys school, and it was a religious school. And it was like a sexual assault, and it was caught on video, and the media got involved, and so on and so forth. But I'm just like, when I was young, I was literally scared of like talking to guys just because I was worried that I was going to be uncool, or I was worried I was going to be bullied, or I was worried it was going to be something that wasn't, I was going to lose social status for this. And I think that the structure is very important. I think your school probably acknowledged to say, like, we're going to go out into and actually try to work these things out and have that space for you. Because I think if you don't have that space, it could very, very easily turn into a very toxic environment.
Yeah, it's like the school. It sounds like the ultimate like anti-toxic masculinity like cabin thing. Mm-hmm. Like is where you go to escape toxic masculinity.
Yeah, it was very healthy masculinity. And like between that stuff, you know, we were outside playing football and like having bonfires and like all the what you would think of like, you know, a masculine boys camping weekend. But then we would like go to our cabins and like sit in circles and like cry with each other.
Talk about your feelings.
And pray and stuff. Yeah, it was weird. It's like a weird mix.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting. That's kind of very modern too. I think that's like very progressive. I've never heard that before.
I went to what I would consider the most progressive Catholic high school I've ever, especially all male, that I've ever heard of.
But how come you haven't thought of it in 15 years?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I did a lot of drugs between then and now.
Okay.
That's not a good pitch. That's not a good pitch.
I mean, it's not a bad thing. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here.
So I went to a few men's groups for the Gender Knot last summer. We had an episode out on that where I had some audio of having gone to a few men's groups. And there's one slightly notorious one in London where the men that go to it, they kind of have some questions they say to the group to introduce themselves, one of which is when they last ejaculated. And I can't imagine, I don't quite know why they feel they need that as one of the opening questions, but that's certainly not something I think many men are comfortable saying in front of a woman.
Right.
Interesting.
But so why do you think, like, they all go around in the circle and they talk about themselves, and it's just one of the many questions, but they all say it. Maybe like, oh, yesterday, or like 2 weeks ago, or 5 minutes ago. Like,
Because I think, like, sex is very taboo in general, and I think specifically sex with guys, like, not as, like, male to male, but, like, just talking about sex is, like, I've talked to many, many, like, young boys about sex, and they're it's an interesting camp. Like, you talk to, like, a 12-year-old about sex, they're either, like, yeah, I know everything about it because I've read everything about it on YouTube, or they're disgusted by it and go, like, ew, that's embarrassing, I don't want to talk about it. So this is weird divide. So when I talk about sex with a group of, like, young boys, half of them are, like, oh, I know everything, and half of them are, like, I don't want it to do anything about this. So I think, like, I was just thinking of the Movember movement, and the Movember movement came out because of testicular cancer. And I was talking to them about these boys, and they said, you know, testicular cancer comes to, like, it's highly prevalent when you're younger because you don't know how to check your testicles because no one teaches you how to do that. And no one really teaches you you have to, you know, check your testicles. And also I was talking to them about their penis and saying, like, if you're circumcised, if you're uncircumcised, make sure you open the hood and clean down there. It's important that you clean. And a lot of them are like, ew, I don't want to talk about it, ew. But that's how that weird performative culture begins. It's like, I don't want to talk about sex because then that means I don't know about sex, and then that means I'm a weak person. You know what I mean?
So do you think with a men's group, one of the reasons why you might open with a question like, you know, when you last ejaculated, is to break that down, to kind of go for the most uncomfortable question first, so that any conversation after that is slightly tamer?
That's what I think. I think that's probably why they do it. I think sex is probably one of the most taboo questions for guys, except of like, oh, like I, you know, I've had sex with this many women. It's always about like the conquest, but it's never about like, hey, you know, last time I had sex, it was really bad. Or they don't talk about like, oh, you know, I haven't, you know, I've been with my wife for a month and we haven't had sex in a month or whatever it is. Or they say that I was talking with somebody for Modern Manhood and he was saying, you know, when was the last time a guy were talked about, you know, that they couldn't get it up? And that is something that happens to a lot of guys. And unfortunately, it's not something that we talk about normally. And it's a common sense of insecurity for a lot of men is sex.
Mm.
Oh, big time. Yeah, I get that. That's such an uncomfortable question, the ejaculation one, for me personally. And I'm going to say this on the podcast, and we can maybe cut it out if we want to because it's gross. But I had spine tumors a few years ago. And I have nerve damage and I can't physically ejaculate. And so if I was sitting in that circle and they're going around and they're like 2 weeks ago and one guy's like a month and a half, I'd be like, it's been years, you losers. it would hurt my feelings.
Oh, yeah, I think you're a bit of a, that's an odd case in the thing. I don't think that's quite what they expect as an answer.
I know. I'm saying all this to be funny. I think it's hilarious at this point, but I feel like it would be uncomfortable for people.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's still an answer, though, right? Like, that's still something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's still something to talk about.
If anything, that's breaking down the walls further.
Exactly.
Totally. Which I'm into. Which is why I'm going to say it to all of our listeners internationally.
you've won that question. like no one can one up you there.
I don't know. Maybe some Mormon guy who's just never.
Yeah,
see, that's,
maybe.
That's,
look,
yeah,
he's just never looked at his penis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely think that's like a thing of like when men gather around to talk, I think sex is not one of the things we talk, or just our genitals and in general. Like I was just reading this article in Mel magazine about how a lot of guys don't know how to wipe their butt and because they weren't taught. And they might have thought it was gross, or some people thought it was homophobic, and thought, like there were so many different answers. But like, it's such a simple thing, and you're like, why? But there's many reasons for that, and I think the not talking about sex is one of them, or just staying away from that topic is one of them.
Mm. And what are
now? I'm wondering if I'm wiping my butt wrong.
Are you Googling it?
No, but I will. I don't want typing on the mic, but I'll look it up later.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you the article. It's a really good article, and it actually made me like double think about like my butt wiping strategies, because I was like,
yeah, I'm trying to think if like anyone's ever taught me how to do that, and like maybe there's a more efficient way.
Yeah,
I can safely say that the men's groups that I went to last summer, we didn't discuss that.
What did you discuss, Daniel?
So, a lot of it was. Quite a lot of like emotional stuff. I think probably the kind of stuff that Dan was referring to about his cabin stuff when he was like 16, but slightly more adult. So people saying, you know, they're about their sex lives with their wives, or some of them talking about like obsessive relationships where they're like, they're obsessive, or about, I don't know, it was just a very honest, open conversations that kind of guys that seem oblivious to things, actually they did have some insight, but they just never had a space to say it. So often you see guys and like, oh, they're repressed, or they don't realize something about themselves, but actually a lot of them did realize it. They just didn't know how to say it, and it's kind of, they go to this space to be vulnerable and to say the stuff that probably everybody's thinking about them, but they're too scared to say.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the case. I wonder if that's the case for men's group. It's just for helping a lot of guys to find the language of how to talk about those things.
Well, it's a group of people who you owe nothing to, and they've never met you, and you leave at the end of the session, and it's like, a big group therapy, but like everyone relates to each other and acts as role models for each other, and they can all be vulnerable together. And everyone, if somebody said something like really vulnerable, then loads of other guys would be like, me too. Like they'd all like join in together and let them know they're not alone. And it's funny because I wouldn't say the conversations that were had were particularly like masculine. They weren't like, obviously sometimes they'd be about their sex lives, but they weren't like, I don't think they would have outraged women. Nobody was saying anything that I think a woman would find particularly off-putting or outrageous. I think it was more just the men didn't feel they could have those conversations in front of women because of how it would make them feel or look.
Right. I feel like a big stigma, and the reason maybe a lot of guys are nervous about going to men's groups is because they're the types of guys who want to have a space to talk about these things and be vulnerable, and they're worried that if they get in a room full of men, it's just going to be like, yeah, and then I was looking at tits and, you know, all these chicks, and like it's going to be just all this macho bullshit. Mm-hmm. But that's not what ends up happening.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Although I found it quite intimidating. And really, generally, I'm quite comfortable talking about like quite deep stuff or quite emotional stuff to like close friends and family. I would go there with those people. But actually, in an anonymous group of people, I suddenly closed up. I was like, it didn't work for me. It didn't quite feel right for me or sit well for me. But it seemed to work for a lot of these other men.
Do you think that they were kind of in the space already to like do that?
Yeah. I only went for like 3 sessions, and I don't know whether if I kept at it I would have suddenly like got involved, but I found it tough. I don't know, I just didn't feel like my kind of environment, but I think that was me personally. I think it seemed to be benefiting a lot of these guys, and I think most of them had been to more sessions than I had.
What kind of men's group was it? Like, was it like going around in a circle kind of thing, or was it like learning something, or was it just open to talking?
It was kind of like there'd be like a theme of the week. So you'd have like a bit of a discussion. People would say like what's on their mind, a few people. And then there were like 20 guys there. So like 3 or 4 would say what's on their mind. And then there'd be a theme of like, oh, let's talk about this then. Mm-hmm. So it might be relationships. It could be sex. It could be family stuff.
So that's interesting that like I think that's the thing with like with a lot of men's group, it all depends on what kind of men's group it is. Like, there's no one particular model that works for everybody. A lot of them are very much the going around in a circle and you get to talk about your feelings and hopefully somebody says something kind of thing. Some of them are like the going into the woods and just getting to know nature and stuff like that. I think that one's very popular. There's also like the psycho-ed ones where you just go in there, you learn something, and then you maybe talk about that thing that you learn or the thing that you are talking about in that session. For example, like if you talk about feelings or something like that, and then you get to talk about that.
I think for me, like there was nothing that I wanted to say there that I'd not said to people outside of it.
Yeah.
I'd said everything. I'd got it all out of my system. I didn't need to say anything there that I hadn't already said. I quite like the idea of going to the woods and like camping and I don't know, just like being outside. I think one of those ones might be more interesting because I'd be physically doing something. I felt like I wanted to be up and doing. I was fidgety rather than sitting there and talking about feelings doesn't really, for me in that case. So I guess this is our is the man only episode. So it's our one opportunity to discuss things about Naz or Sam present. So is there anything that I think you guys would only talk about with men? Is there any topic or anything that you think that you could only discuss in front of men?
Like the only questions that I would have for a guy that I wouldn't have for a girl personally is about sex. Is about like if I'm having trouble getting it up, or if I'm having trouble like that our sex life or me and my partner are not the best, like I would ask another guy. I would want to ask another guy. Sometimes I don't.
But would you actually do it though?
That's the thing. I don't know if I would.
Dan, if you had a question about sex, who would you go to?
The internet.
It's true.
I mean,
it's true.
I mean, it depends on what it is. I mean, at this point in my life, I think that I could ask several of my friends literally anything.
Yeah.
And that's come through a lot of, like, you know, like I said earlier, being a member of certain groups for addiction recovery. You know, you get pretty deep and dark with those people, and you know, not everyone is you know, lucky enough to you know, find rock bottom in addiction like I did, and get to meet the kind of people that talk like that and share those experiences, which I think is what we're saying you get out of a men's group. You know, someone that you can go to them and you can say, you know, at my deepest, darkest moments in life, I feel like X. And they look back to you and they go, yeah, dude, duh. That's totally normal. Mm-hmm. Because I think we're conditioned as human beings in this capitalist bullshit fucking environment to think that, like, I'm not as good as everyone else. And I need to be X, Y, and Z on the surface so that everyone likes me. And so when I'm not those things, or when I'm only a fraction or even a high percentage of those things, I'm not good enough. And so no one can know. But then when I tell literally anyone anything about me that I don't think is good or right or perfect or normal, they go, yeah, duh. Like, what are you right. talking about?
Right.
And or they go, oh, wow, that's me too. Like, I didn't know anyone else.
Well, that's what happens at men's groups. That's the whole point of the men's groups, because a lot of guys aren't getting that outside of the groups.
Right.
And I think there is right. kind of like a gendered conversation of some of these things. For example, like, I'm very lucky to do like these events, like monthly events with a bunch of guys, and it's more of a conversation or anything. It's not a men's group per se. But we base an event on fatherhood. And then I think, to me, fatherhood is one of those things where it's that right now in 2019 is still kind of this gendered thing. Like, what, like, males still need to, like, I'm glad that a lot of guys are becoming more caregivers and becoming a lot more mentors to their child. But there is this, like, well, I'm not breastfeeding. I'm not, like, I'm being a supportive partner. But there is, I think guys can hear another father having maybe another problem, and can relate to that a little bit further than it would be for talking to a mother, for example. The other ones that I hear a lot in men's group is, and a lot of them come from divorce. They come from, like, hey, I'm going through this through my divorce. And to hear that from another guy saying, hey, listen, I got this too, me too, kind of thing, is really valuable for them. And also this other issue of anger and how they become angry and they don't know what to do with that anger. And when another guy goes, yeah, I get that. I totally understand that. And not to say, like, women don't feel this. Absolutely. A lot of women probably do. But I think that part of anger is some sort of gendered thing that I think they want to hear that. They need to hear that from another guy. To say, you know what, I hear that, and here's what I did, or I hear that, and dude, that really sucks. Like, let's. I want to hear what you have to say, kind of thing. Which most times they don't get.
I think one thing I will say about the sort of makeup of people at men's groups, the ones that I went to in the summer, is that they weren't the kind of people that were confrontation happy. They were the people that would have avoided confrontation naturally, and they weren't the people that would necessarily express anger either. They're the ones that would likely hold back any anger, and perhaps it would build up in a certain sense resentment. And I think a lot of them went to the men's group to express their resentment and express their anger, but they'd never had an outlet for that. They'd never said how angry they are at something or at the world or whatever. And they'd also never confronted anyone about it. The cause, if it was a person that was causing this pain, they'd never confronted that person. So they came to this group to seek help. You know, I want to be at this group to talk about this, and that would be their outlet. And I think a lot of them wanted to be more stereotypically masculine. I think some of them felt they were weak men, and they sort of were nice people, too nice, and they wanted to be a bit less nice.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Do you think that they needed like support to say like, I wanted to be a man. Like, give me permission to be a man.
Yeah, I think so. I think they wanted to be like men together doing something, which is hard because you almost think they want somebody in their ear shouting something like "man up," but that's that phrase in itself has so much behind it. If you tell someone to man up nowadays, it's not a phrase you can really use anymore. But it's almost like that's what the men wanted to hear, but in a more gentle way.
Hey, buddy, man up. Like that?
Yeah, like maybe that's just, maybe we need to bring man up back.
The thing is that, like, I think a lot of men, when I see those type, specifically those type of men, or like the nice guys that want to feel some sort of validation, I think that they're looking for they've always wanted this version of masculinity that they never could grasp. But I think they either want to grab that again or try to grab it as best they can, or to have somebody say, you know, your version of masculinity is just fine. Like, you're still a guy. Like, no one's going to doubt your masculinity for what you do. And I think that's the message I would like to give to other guys. It's just to say, like, listen, like, whatever you're doing, as long as you're not hurting yourself or somebody else, like, your version of masculinity is fine. Like, you don't need to compete with other guys to grab this version of masculinity. And that's why I think when you're trying to say, like, man up, it's more of, like, just grab hold of that manhood that you have already inside of you and keep that. That's nobody can take that away from you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think a lot of guys I think a lot of them there perhaps have overthought things. They were thinking too much, focusing too much in on themselves. To be honest, people don't give a shit most of the time. Like, you know, my guy friends come to me and tell me they've, you know, never had sex or had 100 partners or whatever. Like, I don't really care that much. You know, that's not going to, if they're my friend, I'm not going to change my opinion particularly based on their sex life. And
that could not matter less.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the guys there felt that, like, everyone knew all these secrets about them. Everybody knew that, you know, when they walked down the street, everyone would look at them and know their deepest, darkest secrets. Nobody gives a shit. Like, people don't give a shit about any of that. Like,
no.
Yeah, you want to know the secret? No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
No one cares what you do when you're not in front of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. 90% of the things you do, nobody cares about. And everybody's a hero of their own story. Like, it's like it is a lot of insecurity, and I think they need someone to actually help them grab that security. And it's hard because there's a lot of I have definitely my rail against men's group is always to say like there needs to be something more than just the men's group, because that men's group environment, depending on the facilitator, can turn very toxic very quickly. And I've seen specifically men's group where they say, you know, you're right, like that partner of yours is terrible, and then it becomes into this like this crazy toxic fest where you know, our women are the enemy all of a sudden. You're like, wow, where did that come from?
It came from a bunch of dudes in a room without structure.
Exactly. And that's what you want. You want a facilitator that could structure and say that, listen, we need to take accountability in this too. And I also want to make sure that they bring this out, like take that vulnerability and I would like to see them grow into the community. Like, what are you going to do to help your community now? Now that you have this empowerment, like, use that to help others, not just help yourself. That's what I want to see men's group go for.
I think a lot of people as well, that before they go to a men's group, the people that go to them, I think before they go, I think they think they're, you know, obviously everybody's unique, but I think a lot of them think they're special in some way. They think, I'm the only person that's got these problems.
God, I was just going
to
say that.
Yeah. And then they go to the group and they realize they're not special. And it's not mean. You like, sometimes you need to tell somebody you're not special and you're not being mean. You're not telling them they're not unique and they've not got their own individual circumstances. They do, but they're not special. Everyone, whatever's happened to them has happened to 100 people before. You know, if you write down somebody's life on a whiteboard and it says everything about them, you know, there's dozens of other men that could look at that whiteboard and be like, that's me. You've written me down there.
I had this other epiphany a moment ago, which is that, like, I feel like the the definition, like what pops into most people's heads, I think, when we say the word masculinity is typically like toxic masculinity or like this macho bullshit attitude, which I'm now realizing is probably actually the least masculine thing you can do. Because because acting tough is demonstrating so much insecurity. Mm. It's demonstrating so much lack of self-worth. And like, in my opinion, like the most masculine thing one person can be, and frankly, the most feminine thing anyone can be, it's like the most human, like strong and human thing that you can be is confident. Mm. And confidence is not toxic masculinity. That is grossly inconfident, unconfident, lacking in confidence. I don't know the word I'm looking for. Mm.
Yeah, totally. And it's interesting you say that too, because it is like the people that are usually rail around the word toxic masculinity are you see them from the outside or you see their comments and I was like, this is a very insecure comment, or this is, it comes from a sense of insecurity and it comes from a sense of like non-confidence, like you mentioned, because if you were confident about that stuff wouldn't bug you, not even a bit.
And there's nothing more attractive than somebody that's self-confident. You know, people are always drawn to people that are not arrogant, but self-confident. They're comfortable with themselves. They're happy being themselves. Those people always seem to...
I don't know, man. I pull off arrogance pretty well. People are pretty attracted to it.
I really think it's interesting, especially if you go back to your question, Don, about what guys would talk in with other guys. I think it all depends on the topic too, and I think like I'm very happy to do when I see these conversations that I get to do monthly is guys tend to talk, like if there is an invitation to talk about something, they will take it. And if you give them the invitation to say, hey, we're going to talk about, I don't know, like we're going to do one on politics and gender. And you say, like, we're going to talk about gender balance in politics and how, you know, women don't get a chance to, you know, qualify for whatever, MPs, MLAs, whatever. And if you give them that invitation, a lot of guys will take that and say, well, this is, I agree with this and I don't agree with this. And then another guy will say, well, maybe this is the case. And all of a sudden, if you say to them, here's the rules, we're going to practice active listening, we're going to give you a speaker that's going to maybe challenge you a bit, we're going to challenge your perceptions of this and see what comes out of it. I think a lot of guys will take that invitation. And I do channel the power of the majority of males are not out to hurt anybody. And they're actually just trying to live through this life like everybody else. And they're trying to do the best they can. And sometimes we need to give them the invitation and the challenge and the accountability to say, you know, challenge yourself to you know, maneuver in these spaces in a healthy way.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to let people make mistakes and accept that people are going to make mistakes and not crucify them when their mistakes are, you know, are made. I think people are scared to make mistakes nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, I think guys have been scared to make mistakes even before, like, the Me Too movement. And I think Me Too has been scary for a lot of guys. But I think it's just because it's just challenging their perceptions of what it used to be normal. And I think that needed to happen. We were in a stale state.
Yeah, I mean, I think guys have always been scared to make mistakes. Like, I think everyone has always been scared to make mistakes. But maybe men more than women? I don't know.
But I think there's a thing with when women make mistakes, often... I think women rally around each other more when somebody makes a mistake. I think if somebody makes a mistake and they recognize they've made a mistake, women will... to in some sense let them off a bit easier. Whereas I think if a guy makes a mistake, I think other men often distance themselves from the guy that owns up to making a mistake. They're not forgiving of men who make mistakes. Men aren't to other men.
And especially if that mistake allows them to move up in the masculinity ladder. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, there's always this feeling of this perception that you're going to lose your masculinity. If somebody messes up, and if another guy messes up, and you get to go one up them in, I'm going to be the bigger guy, they will take that.
Yeah, yeah.
They will take that 100%.
Because showing weakness is frowned upon.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that there's still this level of competition within guys that unfortunately still happens, and even happens in pro-feminist spaces, unfortunately. And I've seen it happen. This weird level of ego and competition. And I think it has to do with the topic around masculinity,
Yeah.
this performative nature of how we do that.
Who can be the best ally?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I am the most woke, or I
Yeah.
am, like the biggest feminist. Like, this doesn't matter. And I personally am thinking very, very hard on how to break that competition down. And when I talk, when I do panels or presentations, I'm just like, we need to break this down. I want to break all those systems down where we put somebody on a pedestal. Like, things need to be level. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
And I think that's what men's group does. It puts everybody on a level.
okay, I think that's it for the show. We'll be back. Gosh, it's gonna be a while. Mid-April, I think, unless we do another mini episode between now and then. We'll have Naz back, and she's gonna do an all gal show with Sam. But until then, my name is Daniel.
And I'm Jonathan Blackwell.
Our other producers are Naz Taran Tavakolifar and Sam Baker. You heard us talking today to Herman Villegas, and we will be back next time. Thanks for listening. To the gender not.
Bye.